Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of The Magic Sponge. It's me, Rob Beckett and Jimmy Billard, alongside superstar of the internet and full-time Devils presenter, the mighty Ian of Smith.
Cheers.
We also have a guest this week who is an ex-Wimbledon crazy gang legend turned top-level football coach. It's Wally Downs.
Hello, Wally. You all right?
Hey.
You well?
Yeah, terrific, thanks.
Ex-Wimbledon player, coach of West Ham and then QPR. Is that correct?
Yeah, Palace, done a few now.
Now, Brentford manager for a bit,
were you? Yeah.
More clubs than Sam Parkin.
No one's had more clubs than Sam Parkin. What are you up to now? Because you was at QPR, you're not there anymore. What are you doing now?
I'm currently self-unemployable.
Self-unemployable?
No, just waiting for the merry-go-round to come round again, you know. So it was left quite late for me when I left QPR, so most of the clubs had their staffs already.
For that season, so you're going to, next season, you're looking to get another one?
No. I'm sure someone will get the bullet shortly, so.
Fair enough. It's just waiting.
It's like
trying to get like a place in old people's home, isn't it? It's just waiting for someone to die. And you get in. Fair enough. Also, you know Jimmy quite well, sort of. Where was the last time we met, was it, you were saying?
To be honest, I was shitting myself back today.
What was you scared?
Well, the first time I met Wally was with Mr. Vinnie Jones, because they're great mates. They go back from the old Wimbledon days, obviously. And I remember with an agent, weren't it, Wally? Just my agent come
You've
pick
been
me
up the FA, you just got fined 100 grand or something.
That's right. Fucking about it again, I don't know. Shall I be honest? My dispute with Hull and stuff like that, I don't want to go into that.
I'll tell you.
That's the reason why I was shitting myself being in the day. But no, I've gone in the motor, him and Vinny in the back. We pulled up outside this hotel. First time I've met them both properly. Gone in the hotel, Vinnie Jones has got a tracksuit on. So you got a picture of this, people. He's got a tracksuit on, big medallion walks in, Wally's dressed half smart. Walks in the hotel, Vinnie Jones going, can I have a bottle of champagne, please, sir? So that's his drink, a bottle of champagne. Wally walks in, goes, 6 Jager bombs. So I'm there going, are they having a laugh? Or what's the script here? I actually find out that that's it, exactly what they drink.
That's just your round.
All night, that's their round.
He's so forgot to mention, when we picked him up with a motor, he's give it all like 2,000 footballers, you 80s boys, I'm going to put you away and all that. So we had a little nudge of one another. And
so basically, I can't remember the rest of the night after that, and I was in all sorts, and still recovering this fucking day, and this is why I'm a bit nervous, a big wall coming in.
Oh, really?
You're on the Summer Fruits Copperbergs when you're drinking now as well.
No, that's what I'm trying to say, Ian. He ordered 6 Jager bombs, like it's going out of fashion.
Did he struggle?
What in eight, well, he couldn't make the round out because he said to the fella, bottle of champagne, please. Six shake. I said, there's no, who else? He said, no, they're for me. So he'd gone, he said, and I'll have a Budweiser, please. So we wept ours down. He's still got the Budweiser in there. It's like a bottle of champagne, story. Please, six Jager bombs. You want another Budweiser, Jim? Yeah, he's half cut now.
That's about 100 grand rounds anyway.
This is the first time I've ever tried the Jager bomb. Have one of them, Jim. They're all right. Oh, my God. I'm like, actually, I can't even see
you don't
straight.
Need the energy, really, do you?
Unbelievable. Like, it's mental.
Because you're like the old school crazy gang. Was you original? You're the instigator.
Well, I went to Wimbledon when I was still at school, 6 months before they got in the league.
All right.
So I played in the reserves of the last year before they got in the league. So I was the first one there.
From the beginning,
the youngsters, yeah. That was all right. Going into a team of nine alcoholics.
This is just God, we're so lucky to have Wally with us today. I'm buzzing over this one.
The story you must have.
Yeah.
Well, the first day I went training, on Thursday night, we trained down at Robin Hood Roundabout on the A3 and... I used to have a fruit and veg store, so I've gone down with 16. I've got the money bag with me, so we've trained, and I've got my mate to drop me down there. And as we finished, Dave Bassett said, "How are you getting home, Wally? You live in Shepherd's Bush?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Roger will take." Now Roger was like an old hippie, pair of shorts, flip flops, and all that beard.
What on the pitch?
Yeah, he might as well have been.
Imagine if he had boots, he'd probably get a proper league.
So we've got in his little MG convertible. So driving back, he's gone halfway through Hammersmith. He's gone there. What have you got there? I said, "That's the." I've got fruit and vegetables. So that's the money bag. He said, "Oh yeah, busy today." I said, "Yeah, it's about 400 quid." He said, "Do you fancy a drink?" I said, "Oh, yeah, all right." Thought this is going. Well, he took it straight to Ronnie Scott's. I'm 16 years of age. My first training session. I'm in Ronnie Scott's at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is a fucking life. This is a big one, mate.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was trying to see if you guys had played against each other.
Have you seen his eyebrows?
Have I seen that? You can't. You're taking the piss out of my look visual at appearance. Everyone's got a Google me. Shift crew about three of Ian Smith's. Ian Smith's eyebrows look all right. Taking the piss out of 7 year old.
Put your fringe up a bit. Put your fringe up.
People can't see this, Wally.
I want to see him properly.
That's where the...
Oh, the axe killer.
What reaction?
And the ears are quite big, aren't they?
Oh, I'm not fucking looking. Rob's got massive teeth.
Oh, I've got massive teeth. Oh,
Jimmy's one fucking summer through his Copperberg and he's gone.
Yeah, exactly right.
Anyway, I had some stats, right?
Okay, go on, yeah.
So I was trying to see if you guys had played each other before I started getting bullied. And you probably know about it. It took me ages because I was trying to sync up where you've been playing. So
why didn't you just ask us?
Why did you ask you? Because I thought I'd get some funny facts. Basically, when you were defensive manager of West Ham, Wally, do you remember playing against Bullard's Ipswich?
Yeah, I think they'd done us 1-0.
Yeah, that's one of the results. Oh, 5-1.
I knew Wally before
5-1
that.
Away.
Yeah, I was off that day.
This is a quote. You'll like this, Jimmy, from BBC Sport. This is Lee Bowyer scored in the 1-0 match. The midfielder tapped in after Keith Andrews' header from Jimmy Bullard's corner. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I used to take free kicks and corners.
Yeah. He remembers, mate.
I thought it was a bit of...
It's good.
Fun.
It's
funny. But the 5-1...
5-1, it was away, I think.
Tuesday night away game, was it?
What?
Yeah.
Ipswich v West Ham?
Yeah. Other news as well, we have gone our first week in the podcast charts, number 5.
Oi, oi! We've only been out 1 week. Radio 4, we are up your arse. So basically, that's what we want to achieve. Number one, boys, don't we?
Yeah, number one, that's
now
the aim.
Our own radio slot, TV show. By this time next year, everyone.
Film, do a film.
Yeah. And then Oscars.
Yeah, all that. It'll be good. Right, first section. It's called Big News. This is the main quote for Roy King's brought his book out and he said that he gave Peter Schmeichel a black eye and all this and kicking off at everyone. But this is the main quote that's been making the news. He said he's never regretted slamming his studs into the knee of Man City player Haaland. He says he pissed me off shooting his mouth off. He was an absolute prick to play against, niggling, sneaky. I did want to nail him and let him know what was happening. I wanted to hurt him and stand over him and go, take that, you which I think we can bleep. No. I don't regret that, but I had no wish to injure him. But surely, if you're going to stamp on someone and shout, you're going to have to want to hurt him. Have you ever played against Roy Keane or with him?
No, I packed up by the time he started.
Yeah. Have you played against Roy
Keane? He packed up by the time I started, so it's proper gap that.
It's a proper gap, isn't it?
Yeah, we was unlucky, weren't we? Yeah. Between the two of us.
I think you're quite lucky to have not played against
him. But I remember that incident when he actually done him. Yeah. But also, if you see pictures, the one on him
Because when the foreign fellow, what's his name?
Haaland.
When he done Keane, he was a bit spiteful, to be fair. Well, no, that's what other people
forget. They never showed that tackle, though, did they?
It was a bit spiteful. And he gets over him, get up.
Well, no, because Keane tried to foul Haaland, didn't he? But then he was shouting at him when he was injured, wasn't he?
Haaland did to Keane as well. That's why he nearly
decapitated him. What are you on about? Have you seen the tackle?
No, I don't. I've seen one where, you know, where Roy Keane got injured and he was...
Haaland on Keane?
No, Keane on Haaland.
Oh, yeah, that one's awful.
Takes outrageous.
He takes his kneecap out of his leg.
Keane's one was fairly innocuous. It was like he did his cruciate and Haaland
well, yeah, because Haaland actually didn't do it to him. He was just there and shouting at him. Yeah. But it's a bit like...
But when Keane does his... It's a bad tackle and he goes on a bit... But we all know what Keane's about. He's spiteful, so, doesn't he?
Have you played with anyone that sort of tried to do you? Yeah.
Football in the 80s. Forget the fucking ball, get on with the game.
Jail rules. That's true, actually. I bet it's like a training for you, weren't it? Cool. Imagine a training session. Oh my God. Unreal.
Who was the hardest out of all of them?
That's what I wanted to ask.
Because they're all pretty hard. Yeah. Vinnie Jones sort of one everyone sort of thinks of, but I don't know if he was.
On top before that, before Vin came about 85, but I made my debut. Before that, I made my debut when I was 1978. And there was a couple of geezers up north. Billy Ed, Billy White has come a bit later, but Bobby Campbell, Bob Newton. Bob Newton did a manslaughter. He killed his best mate in a car, like driving along, and he decapitated his mate. He fucking played 48 hours.
What tackle that was.
Played 48 hours later.
Oh, God.
Imagine that nowadays. Oh my God.
God, there. Yeah.
See what I mean? You don't get
it's a
that
different
now.
Level, isn't it, then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a... I was captain one day, and this big, fat ref, I can't remember his name, and so we've gone into the spun the coin, and he's gone, he said, I don't give a fuck what you do to one another today, but if anyone says anything to me, I'm booking you and sending you straight up. He said, you can kick fuck out of one another, I ain't too bothered, but any dissent, and that's it. So, well, fuck, that's handy. Both of us, back we went, told the teammates, and just got on with it. Didn't put the salt.
That's outrageous,
isn't it? That's what he said, the ref.
Do you think it's better that it's calmed down now, or is it more fun back in the day?
Well, it weren't a great deal of fun when you were getting larruped every week, but, you know, the rules was the rules then, weren't they? It's just a different game. It's moved on, isn't it? And, you know, it's blocks and interceptions now for defenders, not tackles. So,
yeah.
I think if a defender makes a tackle in the first minute, he just gets beat by a bit of skill, and then he's tried to win the ball and he's booked. All of a sudden, he's on offer for the next 89 minutes. Yeah. It's not because he's trying to commit a foul. He's trying to win the ball with a bit of skill.
But the speed's gone off a bit as well, hasn't it? A quick.
Yeah.
It was a meanest player you played against.
I went through this last week. And I hate the skulls.
Full skulls. You hate full skulls so much.
Every time I got the ball, he nailed me. Every time. Yeah, I'm thinking, why would you bother nailing me? You're Paul Scholes.
He's not the hardest player you've played against, is he?
He's the hardest tackler I've played against.
Really? Mm. You wouldn't think it, though?
Just because he steams in, there's no jockey.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't a great tackler, would he? No, just go and commit. No. Bang, yeah. And get lots of
you know, usually when you get the balls, they jockey it, so you like shepherd that. He just run and just go through, and I'm just thinking, why would you do that? What? Yeah. I mistime it 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And in the end, he just used to get on my tits. So basically, I just don't like him.
You just don't like him, he's one.
On the pitch, he might be a nice fellow off the pitch.
So who was the hardest player you played with, did you say?
Of
the crazy gang.
Well, see, Fash was a black belt and all that, so he didn't mess about with Fash.
Was that a player called Jamie Eyre that was a bit... Was he more nutty than...
Jamie And.
Mate, yeah, was he more nutty than Ard?
He's just... I could tell you stories about Jamie Ann that would... Yeah, it's just... He's sicko, really. He wasn't really a football player.
Well, the difference is other hard men and people that are just mental. Yeah,
is the level Jamie Ann's... I just want to try and describe to you what this fella's like. He's a good mate of mine.
Who did he play?
Was he the one who Nobes roomed with when he came to Ipswich?
No. He's a good mate of mine, as I said, but he's just not wired right.
Who did he play for?
He played for Luton. He played for... Shrewsbury Town. He's a London boy, but he moved up north. And then he played. Look, he was the one who left all the. He went on live on Twitter, and just if you any of you listening to this out there, you got to put in Jamie Ann and have a look what he done.
How do you spell his surname?
You winding me up. Hand.
Hand.
Everyone's got one. Hand.
Hand.
H-A-N-D.
Yeah.
Everyone's got two.
Yes, that's
I thought you
true.
Got four of everything.
That's true. What a bastard. See, I always say silly things on this show. That's what people love.
No, because you're the one. Everyone's
got fucking one. Sharp Wallace. Seriously, look, Wally's we ain't just got a footballer one. In today. But what
no,
I'm trying
you
to say
that you said Anne, and I'm from London.
It's fucking accent.
I know, she's yeah. Oh, well, just little cockney, bro.
No, Jamie Anne. And basically, he went out there and just slaughtered all the fans, just saying, oh, you're all lesbians and probably shag your own mums and all that. To his own club.
Really?
Like, yeah, that was animal enough. But then that night, we're trying to get an hotel in the what's it called? Mayfair Hotel. And they wouldn't let us in. So what does Jamie do? He has a crepe in his hand, rolls it up and throws it in the foyer. Shit bomb! Won't let Jamie sign it. I'm like, what are you, Jamie? What are you doing to me? Like, I don't need to be seen. This is the level. See what I'm saying? It's just like mental. Everyone's looking at me as if I'm not right, but that is actually what went on.
You say he was chasing you around with like
no,
shit
he also
on his hands
yeah,
and like
his mate. He used to room with like this fella that used to bully him, and he said I've had enough of this fella. He's like massive centre half. He said so. He basically sent me a photo. He smeared all shit in him. You know, like the film Bronson when he smears Vaseline. But he smears all shit on him. Jumps straight on this fella and goes, "Come on, him!" And like the bloke don't want to touch him because he's got shit hanging all up with him. But that's the kind of level we're at. And also, I've got to tell you this one. We're in the middle of Spain. Now, this one's a classic, right? And he fancied this girl, right? And she was a bit kinky. And
so he smothered himself in shit.
No, this is even better. I told you he weren't right, well. But like, listen, this is a classic. We're around a pool, and he's like, "Jim, I really like." I said, "I'm going to talk to her." And he's talking to this bird, and he's like, she's got these big earrings. But she's also talking to this punk fella. She's got piercings all over. So Jamie. She's into this kinky stuff. So this vodka gets pulled along and I have all these fireworks and these vodka walking around the pool. He grabs this firework, this sparkler, puts it into his chest, like literally burns a hole in his chest, scabs his chest out, looks at the burn, goes, "You into that?" And she's like, she's looking at him going, "Yeah, like you're mad, but like it, like that," because she's a bit weird. Then all of a sudden he goes one better, which I can't believe. "You into piercings and all that, love?" he says to her. She goes, "Yeah." So he grabs her earring out of her nose, big loop, puts it straight through the middle of his nose, through the gristly bit, says, "Jim, this won't go through, help me out." And like, he's piercing it, I end up going crunch through the middle of the nose, and he's just got this loop thing hanging on, and he's smashing it against his teeth, looking at her going, "You into this shit then, love?" And then... if you were there, you would have cried. He's got a little bit of blood. So basically, that's just the level Jamie Anne goes to.
To impress.
Like, yeah, just like... That's his, like, the randomness of the boy.
Well, I never. So basically, this is a story you may have missed. Moving on from one autobiography to another. Rio Ferdinand claims that England players are treated like babies. He said, England players are treated like complete babies compared to some of the international counterparts. According to Rio, the former Man United and England captain, said the comment in his new autobiography, he was impressed how Man United boss Louis van Gaal, then coach in the Netherlands, dealt with his players at the World Cup, treated them as grown-ups. Do you think...
Sometimes when you're... When you're looking after the players, they're all different. Now, Rio's saying they're getting treated like babies. Yeah, he should have been chaperoned when he missed the drugs test, shouldn't he? So you can't forget things. You've got to be on top of players.
Exactly.
You know, if you treat them like men, you expect them to, you know, act like it.
That's what Keane said in his autobiography as well. He was like, "I'd remember a drugs test." If you had your drugs test, he was like, I don't think you'd forget it.
A lot of people in biographies pipe up but don't look at themselves, see? My one that I wrote was awesome.
It's very good, but I read it, mate.
Bend it like bull, like anyone not got it.
Did you think the England team, when you got called up, they treated them a bit like
babies? I know where Rio's coming from. Wally's a great one to ask because he's played, he's also been on coaching stuff. But I think, yeah, when I was in the England squad, I know where he's coming from. It's too structured, too, you know, you got to do this. But I found football like that in general.
Yeah, yeah.
What Wally said there, everyone is different. But I found it, you know, you've got to be this, got to be that, you've got to do, and it got work. When I started at West Ham, there weren't a lot of rules. And then by the time I finished...
It was all rules.
Yeah, it was like, you can't go outside the hotel. Like, hang on a minute, can I go in the car park? Where's the lines here? You know what I mean? It's like Roy Hodgson, I played under Roy. I come in on a Monday, I was laughing while I was having a stretch. Roy said, "We lost the weekend 3-0. So I was like, right. So Wednesday comes, and he starts laughing. I said, "Roy, when was we allowed to start laughing?" Tell me Tuesday evening. When was it? Tuesday morning. I don't understand. You've curbed me Monday. Now you're cracking up on a Wednesday. I'm like, well, hang on a minute. He said, "Yeah, but I should tell me the line so I know." And that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I was gone after Sunday. My life ain't affected that much when I lose a game of football.
Yeah, yeah.
I can still carry on. You know, football ain't my light. Even I love it. But I just, it got a bit too...
I've always thought the best way to do that is get, like, if you have a little meeting on a Monday morning,
now with the videos and it allows us, you can do 10 minutes, 5 minutes, good 5 minutes, bad from Saturday, bang, get it out of the way.
And the
crackers. No, spot on.
Would you have had Rio at, because Rio come in after you left QPR, would you have had him or would you have not wanted him?
My vote would have been no. No, I don't think Rio would have been a good take. It's very difficult taking Man United players at the best of times because, I mean, Steve used to play for Man United when I worked with him at Palace. He's always very wary of taking players that are leaving Man United because, you know, they've been at the best, they've had the best, and it takes a strong character to come out of that environment and do well again. You know, so Rio going,
especially at the end of his career when he's not at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, exactly. Rio's never been in a relegation battle.
No.
You know, it's a tough one for him. You know, sometimes when you see Man United goalkeepers go elsewhere, they probably have three shots a game to save. They put them in a Crystal Palace team. They're having to make 30. You soon find them out.
Yeah. Footballers moan too much. Gerrard was moaning about his teammates. Stephen Gerrard said, Stephen Gerrard said, "Is it what's that team? Basel."
The other one's a herb.
Basel? Basel. What are they called? FC Basel.
Season in a Bolognese.
Say another team, no one knows.
That Swiss team.
Groningen.
Stephen Gerrard said Groningen wanted it more, which is very disappointing. We didn't deserve anything. We were too soft all over the pitch. Conceding again for set piece isn't good. Do you think footballers moan too much? Do you find, as a coach, footballers are moaning and that? Were they only moan about anything in particular?
Anything. Anyone, isn't it? I mean, it's a tight, confined space and where you're working, and you know, you're dealing with 20 millionaires every day, and the only thing they can ruck about is whether a ball's gone an inch off the pitch or, you know, if the bibs are too tight. You know, you just got to stomach it because there's fuck all else to moan about. Really. You've got a great life. You've got to find something you've got the needle about, haven't you?
Yeah. Who's moaned the most out of the players you've coached?
No one really comes to mind. They're all at it. They're all just looking for any little flaw in anyone. Spot a weakness, exploit it to the maximum until you destroy the person. That's basically
sounds like a footballer.
And you think it's easy out there, don't you? See what I mean? It's a spiteful industry, isn't it?
Bleak.
You've got so much testosterone in that change room. The only way to go up is slaughter some weak person.
Really? Survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sink or swim. Well, I mean, as a coach, when you go into a new club as a coach, like the. You can imagine the previous guys have got the sack or it's a new day. If your first session ain't bang spot on, you know, then you do well to win them round again.
Really?
Yeah, you've got to make a big impact on your first session. They've got to kind of think, fuck me, that was good. Enjoyed that. That was lively. I learnt something. If they can't think, what the fuck's he doing? Or if you get your dimensions wrong with a pitch, any little thing like that,
they'll pick up on it.
Bang on it, yeah.
Oh, you get it all the time. I played with a boy called Keith Andrews. You ever been with Keith?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, he's the worst.
Really?
The worst of ever. Before we started, pitches miles
bad,
too fucking big.
Bellas is bad and all, and he's on top of everything. Yeah, they tell me really? From West Ham, they said he's right on everything.
Oh, mate.
Who's that?
Craig Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy. Yeah.
You can imagine that.
Craig Andrews does it as well.
Right. Absolute nightmare. Honestly, one of the worst I've ever played with. And on the pitch, he'd play with that much aggression. Like, this is how mental he is. On the pitch, I'm like, I'm on free kicks, I got this. He scored about one in his career. I've scored so much more, whatever. Got the ball down, Got the ball down, he's like, I'm on it. Like, no, you ain't settled down, son. No, I'm on it. Iron, rock, paper, scissors, on the pitch. Where are you coming from?
Can you imagine a coach who's been working all week on what we're going to do?
He made you do rock, paper, scissors. He's like, you're not taking it. So he stands on the ball, Paul George, the manager. I'm looking over, I know what Paul's like. He's like, that ain't... Just don't do that. So we're doing rock, paper, scissors like that.
Boy, hiding.
Under the arm. And I'm just like, what's this all about? And this is, like, he weren't wide right. There's another one. Not right.
Who won the rock, paper, scissors? Did you score?
Yeah, straight in. What did I fucking score? It weren't a lot. If I got three a game, I promise you one.
It's not a bad ratio, is it?
Yeah, I was having myself when free kicked.
And what was Bellamy's moan about everything?
Well, I suddenly hear say from Palace, from West Ham, they'd say, like, you know, you have to be spot on with your sessions. You know, you can't afford to keep it dragging on. You know, you've got to suss when it's at its peak and cut it then. Or similarly, you've got to knock it on the head. If you put one on and it ain't really happening, you've got to be big enough to say, right, we'll sack that off and do something else.
Yeah, you're quite moany, aren't you, Ian?
No.
You moan a lot. If we meet up for a cup of tea or something, he's known just to talk for 15 minutes about something that's annoyed you.
Yeah. Where's this going to lead?
You admit you're quite moany.
Yeah. But never about dimensions of a football pitch. Yeah, just walk past a five-a-side court and be like, what the fuck is this? No, I'm more relaxed now.
Oh, are you?
I bought some scented candles, that kind of stuff. I'm doing all right, mate.
Which part, everyone?
Well, my girlfriend bought them.
Yeah, but have you calmed down?
Know.
Do you think you calmed down?
You got
a
bird?
No. Yeah. This is the bullying
you're
right now. He's sending the testosterone in the room. He's trying to get
it. Do
you mind about, her dimensions?
See what I mean? He's brought the football industry into this room. He's one spiteful,
horrible man, isn't he? What it's like to be... football.
In the dressing room. It'd probably be better if we were dressed.
Well, that is fucking horrible.
Well, I've been asked to do a drugs test after this as well. See, I've been a waiter for 3 years. I didn't realise how horrible it was. And he's still
he's
an horrible
bastard. He's coming, he's spiky.
See, he's on you.
This is Alan Pardew, Newcastle manager. Newcastle.
He's fucking made it the third week in a row, Alan Pardew. No one likes this bastard. And we always talk about him. Why has he made it a third week in a fucking row? He even made it in our pilot. It's a geezer. He's chocolate. He's having his cell. No one likes him, especially up there. So why are we talking about him down here?
Because I've played with Alan for 4 years at Crystal Palace.
Do you like him?
He's chocolate. He's still chocolate, though, isn't he? He's having himself well. 100%.
Are you mates with Pardew?
Yeah, I used to coach him at Palace.
Is he nice, bro?
We worked together at South.
I've always rated him.
He's got his 50th next week.
I'm not going to that one.
This is a quote. This is a quote from Pardew, right?
Come on,
like Jimmy.
Seriously,
I know you don't like Pardew.
I know, like you usually say, like all news is good news, but not for Pards.
No, but listen.
Seriously,
you like this
I'm
quote.
I'm not answering this.
No, you don't have to answer it, mate.
Just listen. To
this. Okay, just listen. That. Well, you can answer.
This is what Jimmy told me to say, Pardew. So.
What is it?
This is Jimmy's answer. Go on.
I'll say so.
You got to ask me the question.
Right. Okay. So basically. Pardew's getting a bit of grief in Newcastle.
Bit of grief.
Yeah. Well, everyone hates him in Newcastle, but this is what he said. He went, I've got some CV and experience that says I can do that. And this is about him keeping him up and turning it around. He went, I can turn around the situation. I've got to lean on that. No one else is going to lean on me, so it's important that I do. So I'll go home and shine my Manager of the Year trophy to give myself a bit of confidence and come in tomorrow.
Oh, can I answer that? I'm back in.
No, no.
I'm back in.
This is the answer, Jimmy. This is the answer Jimmy told me to say previously for him. Well, that's a very acute answer from Alan there. He's obviously got the Player and Manager of the Year award, so that's the perfect thing to do. Well done, Al.
That's a really reasonable
that's
response,
what I said.
Jimmy.
It's funny, isn't it?
I think Jimmy's amended his opinion now, though.
This is exactly what I'm saying, where this man comes from. Like, he's absolutely getting peppered, then he goes and digs himself another one. Why would you say something like that?
He's quite good, though. He's got a bit of confidence, isn't it?
There comes a time when he's on his own up there, really, isn't he? Ashley's although he's backing him. He's right in the corner. He's got
to come out fighting, hasn't he?
He's got to say, look, I'm doing
a job. And by the way, this
isn't
me just slagging off Pards, because I think the more he's talked about, the worse it's getting.
Yeah,
so I just don't want to talk about him for Pards' sake.
For Pards? I'll say worry about Pards,
so I'm a little bit, yeah, because he's getting peppered from all angles, the poor sod.
Who's the most confident player or manager you've ever worked with? Is there anyone that's been...
Sam's very confident, Sam Allardyce.
Really?
In what he does, yeah. He's a good man, very good man.
Don't take no nonsense. I bet he's scary when he shouts at the players.
He can be, but he's got good humour and all, he gets his point across.
Sam comes across, he's very good man management, he understands each individual.
Yeah, he is good.
He's on the ball, he's been there, he's
very cute
as well.
What's Harry Redknapp like?
He's Harry. Harry's good when he's got good players because he just says to him, go out and play. I don't buy bad players.
Fuck me, what manager ain't good when he's got good players? I wouldn't mind being a manager with great players.
The table now you can see. when Harry's at Tottenham with Luka Modric and Gareth Bale and all that, fellas go out and play, which any of us could do. But if you're at a club that haven't got really top class players, then you do have to do some drilling, do some work, do some formation work, and get them functioning as a team.
How was he when the media got to him? Was he all right? He's got quite a good relationship with media, isn't he?
Media don't get to him, do they? He writes for The Sun and Jamie's in the Mail and he's on Sky, so he gets an easy ride.
Got it sorted, the Redknapp family. But we are on you. We are watching very closely here. Make sure you don't push it too far. We know exactly what angle yous are coming from.
This podcast could be the media turning point.
It could be, yeah. Because there are a lot of slippery fuckers out there.
Says having another biscuit.
Oh, these biscuits are the bollocks.
You're loving these biscuits, aren't you? Oh, well, I think that's episode 2, isn't it? thank you very much. Thank you very much, Wally, for coming on.
Yeah, cheers, Wal.
It's been fun, isn't it? And us three will be back, me, Ian and Jimmy will be back next week with another guest. Thank you very much for listening.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt, or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos, and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
I know what this one is.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.